I was standing in line yesterday afternoon for the dinner here at the church, and I was standing by Terry, and he and Phyllis are about to celebrate their second anniversary as being a part of our church. And now, Terry had come with some of the other men, and there were some ladies here yesterday morning. And the ladies were getting things ready in the kitchen, and the men, you know, put chairs up and moved some tables and put the tent up. Then he came back, and we were standing in line, and we, you know, laid out before us was this table that was just chock full of food. In fact, there was so much of it, we ate yesterday, and we're going to eat some more tonight, and there'll probably be leftovers when we get done tonight. But and we fed about 170 people, as best I could figure out, with the food that we had, and there were still plenty enough for us to eat tonight, and like I say, there'll be leftovers. But Terry was standing there in line, and he was just looking. He said, you know, this is something. This is amazing. I said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? He said, well, all you got to do is tell these folks that you need something, and they're there. I mean, all you got to do is tell the men that some little project needs to be done, and, you know, they show up, and everybody works together, and they get it done. And all you got to do is tell the ladies that you need some food, they're there. Look at it all. He said, I just can't. I don't know if I'm going to probably put words in your mouth, so you can correct me, but I'm going to get your thought. He said, I just can't believe this. And then he said something like this. He said, I should have done something like this a long time ago. You know, when we've been around something for a while, if we're not careful, we begin to take it for granted. And that's why I like to do things with little kids. I like to take little kids someplace that they've, you know, they've never been, or do something with them that they've never done before, even though it's something I may have done or something that I may have experienced, because I like to see the twinkle in their eye. I like to see them when they stand there with their mouth just hanging open, saying the same thing that Terry did. I can't believe this. This is just great. I did something, I think, with one of the little girls in our church, and her, I think it was, I don't know if it was her mom or her dad. They told me a couple of days after. They said she came home and she said, "This was the greatest day in my life." Now I know she was exaggerating, and she didn't, you know, but I like to do things with little kids because I can see the wonder in their eyes as they experience something that maybe they never got to experience before. So, like I said, I was standing in line yesterday with this big kid. He had his mouth open. There was not because he wanted to eat either, although we were both kind of hungry. But he had his mouth sort of open, and there was a twinkle in his eye. And he says, I just can't believe this. It's amazing. It's something. And I thought to myself as I wasn't going to cry tonight, Barb, and you got me crying during your song. I thought to myself as I was driving home, I prayed and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'd begin to take what we have in this place for granted. And I needed a big kid to remind me what you've given us here. And what I'm talking about is the unity that we have as a church and what that unity does. I was reminded of that verse that we read from the first verse in Psalm 133, where the Bible says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God says that when a people are united, when a church is united, when they're pulling together in the same direction, when they're together and telling other people about Jesus, and when they're together and serving other people, whether it's inside the church or outside of the church, God says in this psalm, it's good and it's pleasant. And then the psalmist says in verse 2, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. Tonight, I want to preach a sermon. I'll admit to you, I preached it before, but I felt like I ought to preach it again tonight. Some of you haven't heard it because you weren't here the last time I preached it. Some of you, as I start to preach it, you'll say, oh yeah, I remember that one. But again, I don't apologize. You'll watch the same movie twice. You'll read the same book twice. You'll listen to the same record twice. And the truth of God never gets old. And we need to hear it again and again. So tonight I want to preach a sermon entitled, Like the Precious Ointment. That verse is talking about the ointment that God had Moses put together over in the book of Exodus that he used to anoint Aaron, the first high priest, that he used to anoint the furniture of the tabernacle, that he used to anoint the Ark of the Covenant. And tonight, I just want to, in a real simple way, I want to tell you why the unity that we have as a church is like the precious ointment that God had Moses put together and use to anoint Aaron. 3 points. Number one, that ointment was concocted or designed or put together, however you want to say it, by God. I want you to take your Bibles with me and turn over to Exodus chapter 30. We'll be reading three passages of Scripture from the same chapter, and I'd like you to follow along with me if you have your Bibles. Exodus chapter 30, look down to verse 22. Exodus chapter 30, verse 22. Here's what the Bible says. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels. And of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, a hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compounded after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. God said, hey Moses, I want you to make an oil, an ointment of oil. And I want you to put 500 shekels of pure myrrh. I want you to put 250 shekels of sweet cinnamon, 250 shekels of sweet calamus, 500 shekels of cassia, a hin of olive oil. And I want you to be like an apothecary, a perfumer, one that puts perfume together. I want you to mix it together, and I want you to make this ointment of oil that I've designed, I've concocted, however you want to say it. And I would just point out to you tonight that oil, the anointing oil, was not something that Moses thought up. It was not something that Aaron thought up. It was not something that they designed by trial and error. They didn't get together and get all these spices together and say, well, let's try a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and we'll experiment a little bit, and when it comes out, we'll know that it's right. They didn't do that. God gave them the ingredients. He gave the amount of the ingredients, and he said, well, look, I want you to put it all together. Here's the plan. Here's the recipe. I want you to put it all together, and I want you to make this ointment of oil, and you put it together exactly the way that I told you to. I know some of you, when you cook, it always amazed me when I watch my grandmother cook. She would take a little pinch of this and a little dash of this. And I said, Grandma, are you following the recipe? She said, yeah, well, sort of. I said, what do you mean? Well, I got the recipe. I just add a little bit of this and a little bit of that to it. It's not written down on my recipe, but I know to do it. And God told Moses, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to add anything to it. I don't want you to take anything away from it. I want you to put it together. I want you to mix it together. And I want it to be exactly like I've told you to do it. The unity of the brethren that's talked about in Psalm 133 is concocted by God. He does the same thing. When he put us together as a church, and he brought different people into the church, it was his plan. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's talking about the different gifts that God gives to different people. And Paul uses, and how those people come together and make up a church. And Paul uses the human body to talk about the church. And he says, for the body is not one member, but many. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. But God hath tempered the body together, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And I would point out to you tonight that we are a church, that we have the unity in this church, because it is God that brought us together. I tell people all the time that talk to me about joining the church, I said, if God wants you to be here, you will not be happy anywhere else. But if God doesn't want you to be here, you will be miserable. You need to find out and make sure that God wants you here. And if he wants you here, we'll welcome you here. But make sure that you're in God's will when you come and become a member of our church, when you become a member of our fellowship. I was thinking this afternoon as I was reviewing my sermon, I was thinking about different people and how God brought them into the church. I don't have time to tell you the stories tonight. I wish I did. It was a blessing to my heart just to think back over the past and think about all the, you know, the first time that people came and how they joined our church. And I prayed this afternoon in my chair. I said, God, thank you for bringing the different parts of this body together and making it into a church. And thank you, Father, for making us one body. For one body. You know, if there's something wrong with your little toe, your whole body knows about it. If there's something wrong with your little finger, your whole body, I mean, you could have a little bump back here on the back of your head, and your whole body knows about it. You can get a tooth pulled like Chantel did this past week, and her whole body knows about it. I mean, and the same thing. If there is a schism in the body, if there's some part of the body that's not doing something they're supposed to do or not getting along with somebody else in the body, the whole body knows about it. They may not know the details, but they know there's a schism. And the same thing is true in a church. I like what Paul said there. God hath tempered the body together that there should be no schism in the body. See, God uses different experiences in a church to make us into one. That word tempered means you put underneath the heat to make a stronger bond. And I look down through the years and think of the things that God's put us through as a church. And what he was doing was tempering us together as a body in Christ so that we could enjoy the unity, the good and the pleasant unity that's talked about in that first verse of that psalm. I'm glad that we as a church don't have a board who decides who's going to be a member and who's not. I'm glad that you don't put that responsibility on the pastor. I'm glad that we have a church that when people come to us and say, I've been saved, I've been baptized, or I need to be baptized, and I'd like to join your church, that we as a body act on that request and receive them into the church. So, this body was concocted by God. Number two, the oil was used by God. Look in your Bibles again to Exodus chapter 30, beginning in verse 26. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver in his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. This oil that God had Moses put together, he said, Moses, I want you to take the oil and I want you to go anoint the altar, the place where you're going to offer the burnt sacrifices. I want you to go anoint the Ark of Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant, place where the two angels were on either end and the mercy seat was on the top and the presence of God dwelt in that Ark of the Testimony. I want you to take the oil and I want you to go to the table and anoint the table and all the vessels that are used on the table, the altar of incense that where they burn incense every day, the altar of the burnt offering and all the vessels there. And use the oil to set it apart because I'm going to use these things that you anoint. I'm going to use them to interact with the people. I'm going to use them to bring the people to me. It was their system of worship. It was their system of how they approached God. Once a year, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and offered the sacrifice of atonement for the people for the year. On the table of showbread, they put bread every morning. On the altar, they killed a lamb every morning, killed an altar every night. And God says, I want you to anoint all these pieces of furniture that are used in the tabernacle because I'm going to use them to bring people to me. I'm going to use them so that they can come to their God. And I would point out to you that God uses unity in a church to do the same thing. Why do you think at the funeral service yesterday there were five people that raised their hand accepting Christ? It wasn't because of the preacher. It wasn't me. It wasn't because people's hearts were broken and they were at, a time when they think more about eternity. It was because that God used us as a church to bring other people to Him. Why do you think this morning after the service, a young man came up to me and said, Pastor, I need to talk to you for a few minutes after the service if you have time. I said, I got time. And he and his wife came back into my office and he says, I need to get saved. He said, I'm too shy to walk the aisle. I'm too embarrassed to get up in front of people, but I need to get saved. He said, I wanted to yesterday. And he said this. He said, I heard what you said about walking over things to go to hell. And he said, I don't want to walk over Uncle Sonny's body. This was one of Earl's nephews. He says, I don't want to walk over Uncle Sonny's body and go to hell. And we sat back in my office. I told him about Jesus. He bowed his head and asked Jesus to be a Savior. He's going to come and walk the aisle and tell everybody that he did. He's going to get baptized just like he should. But why do you think that happened? Because we are unified as a church, and God can use that unity to bring men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ. And then number three, look down at Exodus chapter 30, verse 31. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. Here's my third point. There's nothing that compares to being in a church that has a sense of unity. There is absolutely nothing like it. Now, you can belong to a lot of organizations. I mean, you can be a part of a family. I'm a part of a family. I haven't seen my one brother in, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. I haven't seen my other brother for 3 or 4 weeks. I see my mom and dad about once a month. And I enjoy when I get together with them. But it doesn't compare to coming here week after week after week and enjoying what we have here. I know some of you are in, you might belong to a club, or you belong to a bowling league, or maybe have a circle of friends at work. I don't belong to a club, and I don't bowl. I do have some friends at work, only because we're, you know, together a lot of the time. But I tell you what, if I ever get in the hospital, I'm not going to call them. When I have to go to the funeral home and bury a member of my family, I won't call them. When I have a heartache and I really need somebody to pray with me, I'm not going to call them. I'll be calling the people that sit in these pews. So when Terry was standing there yesterday with that twinkle in his eye and his mouth wasn't hanging open, but literally, but figuratively it was, and he was saying, "Man, this is something. This is amazing." I knew exactly what he was talking about. Thank you, Lord, for using a kid, so to speak. A kid only because he hadn't been around it as much as some of us have. Thank you, Lord, for using a kid to remind me that what we have here is precious. It's precious. We ought to enjoy it. We ought never take it for granted. And we ought to thank God every day for what he's given us. Now, if you're here tonight and you have no idea what I've been talking about, it's because you're not a member of the family. You need to join the family. You won't understand it. You won't understand it until you're a part of it. And just like any family, the way you get into this family, you got to be born into it. You got to be born again. You're a sinner. Jesus went to the cross to die for your sin, paid the price. If you'll receive him, the Bible says he'll give you the power to become one of the sons of God and make you part of the family. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the sweet, sweet fellowship that we have in this place, for the unity, and it is precious. It's good. It's pleasant. Thank you for reminding us of that tonight. And I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that has no idea what I've been talking about, that tonight they'll see themselves as a sinner. They'll see the price that Jesus paid for them on Calvary. And they'll come tonight and become part of the family. Maybe just one, maybe a little child, maybe an adult. Father, you know our hearts. You know what we need to do. And I pray for that one that may not know Christ, that tonight they'd make that decision. Pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, help us to be grateful for what you've given us in this place. If the Holy Spirit sees something in our life and has spoken to us about it tonight, I pray we'd be obedient and do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. Bless the invitation. Use it for your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.